From the war in Iraq to fighting in Africa and conflict in Sri Lanka, dozens of countries today are bathed red in blood. According to the World Bank, 80% of the world's poorest countries have had a major war in the last two decades. It seems that no one has the courage or the strength, much less the willingness, to stop the killing. To mark the UN-sponsored International Day of Peace, Christian churches have been holding vigils and prayer services from Friday through Sunday for the gift of peace. But Monsignor Jim Reinert of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace is concerned that too few people are listening to the call for peace, even at the UN itself. He should know he spent 7 years in the Vatican's Observer's Office at the UN headquarters in New York.
I honestly think that in New York, even as this is the United Nations Day of Peace, I think that there are a lot of people, a majority of people, who don't know that the 21st is the World Day of Peace. It is something that we don't play up enough. We don't make as big of a deal as it should be. We don't. They didn't in New York. They don't at the UN. It comes at a very odd time in the year in the schedule for the United Nations, and I think that it is really unfortunate that it isn't played up as high as it should be.
It's a rather sad comment on the state of affairs today, isn't it?
It is, and especially when you look at what the UN is. The foundation of the UN is to bring peace to the world, to alleviate suffering, to develop peoples. And they themselves then have a ceremony in celebration of this day. And then the next day, it's business as usual. There is a call for a 24-hour cessation of hostilities throughout the world. Whether or not they can actually see that there is a period of time when people take a look at what's going on, if they actually lay down their arms for this period, I don't know. I don't know if there's any way to actually measure that.
Parishes around the world are being invited to pray for peace on this day. How powerful can a prayer be?
God hears them, of course, but I think also then it's an attitude for themselves. I pray and my heart turns to God. A community prays, and there's a change. It's an attitude change. If they believe that this prayer is worthwhile, then they become, in a way, a new people. And it's an attitudinal thing. If I'm a prayerful person, if we are prayerful people, then conflict should be more difficult to accept, should be more difficult to perpetrate. And so, yes, prayer is important. Prayer is important for me to pray for a situation in Africa or Asia or Latin America or wherever it might be. Not only then I'm making myself aware of it, but if it's a public prayer, then other people become aware of it also.
Now, Pope Benedict recently highlighted Northern Ireland, the conflict there that has, after so many years, been resolved. And he was pointing to Northern Ireland as an example for other countries to follow. Do you think that countries would take up that example and try to implement it in some way, try to resolve their own conflicts? And what hope is there that they will open their eyes and actually do so?
It all comes down to political will. It comes down to the leadership of the country. It comes down to the grassroots of the people, the local people, the townspeople, the communities. We're going to see something happening in Sudan, hopefully in the next few weeks. There's already talk. There is discussion. They're going to have this conference in Libya. The peacekeepers are ready to go in. It appears that there's a political will, and that's just one example of a people who, a government that said, this is enough, and we need to do something about this. And that's a civil war, a conflict that's been going on for more than 20 years. generations have grown up not knowing anything else but that. And so it's going to take a real attitude change for the people to accept this. We see it now in Uganda. We see it now in other places in the world where people have had enough. And that's where it has to begin, with the people saying, with the governments complying with the will of the people and saying, okay, now we have to move on. We have to do something about this.
Okay, well, you mentioned Sudan, and of course, Sudan's President al-Bashir was here in the Vatican just recently meeting with Pope Benedict. In a press conference here that he held after meeting Italian leaders, al-Bashir said that the government of Sudan will actually proclaim a ceasefire and cease hostilities when those talks in Libya begin in October. However, he was leaving the door open for those hostilities basically to continue until October, whereas the militia leaders have said, no, we're not going to those peace talks in October unless those hostilities stop. But it seems that people are so reluctant to make that first step towards peace. What can the international community do to pressure perhaps both sides in not necessarily just this conflict, but in all conflicts, to make that first step towards peace?
Well, that's one of the real questions that has plagued the international community since the end of the Second World War. Again, I go back to the idea of the United Nations and bringing people together. How much pressure is placed on these governments is a question for discussion. How much pressure can be placed on these governments? And have we seen that happening? Have we seen it being a means to bring about change? Yes, political pressure, economic sanctions, all of these things are, in a way, useful tools. But again, it comes down to the political will on the ground, in the government. We can see that, you know, there are some nations that are and remain pariahs in the world community, and it seems that they're immune to any outside pressure. At the same time, we know that there are countries that simply don't care. There are governments that just don't care. We can see that now in so many places where it seems that the government isn't paying attention to the needs of the people, isn't willing to take their needs upon themselves and remain outside of the situation that the country itself is in.
Do you think, though, the UN is able? I mean, we don't have another international body as representative as the UN is. If the UN fails to be able to push these countries into making these decisions to end conflict, who can do it?
Again, it's that political will. And we see it in, I'll go back to Sudan, in the Security Council, and it's the Security Council that has the power within the UN to do these things. You get a veto on a resolution. You get a vote that votes down a particular resolution for action. At the same time now, we see that the discussions of the peacekeepers, of the government of Sudan allowing these peacekeepers to come into the country, that's a huge step. And that's probably due mainly to the will and the desire of the Secretary General to move on this. The UN is the body where this has to happen. It brings all people together, and that's kind of a question that goes back to when you asked about prayer. How important is that, and what are the results? The UN is, in a way, in many ways, is like that. That what good is it? Well, if there wasn't a UN, if there wasn't this place to discuss, if there wasn't this place to bring people together and make these decisions, or sometimes twist an arm, I can't imagine what kind of a world there would be right now if there wasn't a UN to give us this opportunity to talk things out.
A UN, even though it's faulted as it is.
Even though it's as faulted as it is, yes. We haven't had a world war in 60 years. And probably that's because of the UN. the conflicts that we've seen, the regional, civil wars, these kind of things, they're more contained. But again, the UN gives us an opportunity to deal with those small fires before they become a large one.
Pope John Paul used to say that there can be no peace without justice and no justice without forgiveness. And here we're sitting inside this very Vatican Council called Justice and Peace. Where does forgiveness fit in?
It's very important. It's essential. We see that in so many places, the reconciliation tribunals, the meetings that are going on in places like East Timor and in Africa, in Rwanda, and these places where there have been terrible, terrible conflicts, loss of life, and division among the people, that without this idea of reconciliation, there can be no peace. And it's a way for people to bring an end to what they've seen in their life, to for a closure for themselves and for the victims, for the people around them. I can't emphasize more the necessity of reconciliation, of forgiveness, of bringing the people together and facing the demons that have been the past history. You can't move on, because that's a baggage then that you carry with you, with the people, until it festers into a new conflict. Once this is all out in the open, once there has been a reconciliation, a forgiveness, a feeling of, okay, we are satisfied now, let's move on, you can't move on.
Monsignor Jim Reinert of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace.